ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're going to get into all kinds of different college football stuff at the end of the show. Portal, NIL. I have a question, Jared, and I want to see if you know the answer about the portal. I was texting back and forth with one of our listeners yesterday afternoon, and we were portaling, talking about the portal as far as the mechanics of it. Let me ask you this question, and maybe you know it, and you'll just fire off the answer right at me, and maybe you don't.
No promises, but we'll try.
Okay, so in my understanding of the portal, everybody gets one free transfer. When I say free, meaning you don't have to sit out a year.
Right, I
understand. Everyone gets one.
Well, wasn't there a guy from, I believe, USC, and that's the headline was he's in the portal for a third time.
Brew McCoy.
Right. So what? But did he leave? I didn't read into it. Did he actually leave, or does he explore every year his options and then stay?
Well, see if you'll remember his recruiting. He originally signed with Texas. He was a 5-star receiver 2 years ago, maybe, in that class.
Okay.
He signed with Texas. And heck, by even the spring/summer, he never even went there. He portaled out to USC.
Okay.
Right. And now he was at USC, and now he's again. So I guess maybe his recruiting was really weird. Like, it was USC, then it was Texas, then it was USC, then it was Texas, then it was USC. It seemed like he signed with Texas, then went to USC. But that's just one, and this would be two. I can't remember. Maybe he started USC, then portaled to Texas, then portaled back to USC, and now portaling out. At some point, that guy's got to sit out of here, right? And this is a great point by Dakota on the text line. JT Daniels. He's in the portal again. Does he ever have to sit out a year? But this gets to my question.
Okay.
About the portal, I think it's one time free, meaning don't sit out. Then if you do it again, you're going to have to sit out a year like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Except for now, let me ask you this. Can you portal as an underclassman and then get the freebie as a grad transfer?
So portal as an underclassman the one time and you play immediately, and then grad transfer, play immediately again. So in theory,
that's my question.
In theory, play for three teams without sitting out a year.
Right.
I'm sure that's a loophole somewhere.
I mean, does the grad transfer thing go away if you portal? As far as the freebie year.
I don't know.
I don't either.
And the idea of a grad transfer is to graduate. It's kind of like a reward.
Like, for instance, Pat Fields. Now, he never was in the portal because he was at OU the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
But he has grad transferred to Stanford and is going to play.
Is he going to play? I didn't know.
He is going to play.
Okay.
Yes. And he's also going to be a, engineer and go through that program at Stanford.
Yeah, it sounds like football right now for him is basically like intramural football. It sounds like the school is number one for him.
But wasn't it always? Don't, don't,
don't. Oh, sure.
His play kind of looked like it was intramurals, brother. Anyhow, there's some other portal stuff. Maybe some good news. And there has been good news for Oklahoma. Oh, here we go. We're getting it. Dakota is like a wizard on the interwebs.
He's the fact checker. Like on PTI. Like, how many did we get wrong? And he could fact check this.
Okay, so that's what happened. He signed at USC first.
Okay.
He signed, enrolled, then decommitted and portaled to Texas. This all happened in January of 2019. So he committed to USC. He signed with USC. Then at the end of January of 19, he committed to Texas and portaled to Texas. Then in June of 2019, he went back to USC.
Okay.
So he portaled twice as a recruit.
Is that not a big red flag for a player?
You'd think so. I mean, do we have a big long list of guys that couldn't make a decision and went, you know, the decommit three or four times? I don't feel like it's a big long list of guys that after they did that were very successful.
You know,
Tate Martell, remember him?
Yes, yes. The most frustrating thing is when you're going out to dinner and you ask your significant other, "Where do you want to go?" "I want to go here." "No, wait, I want to go there." "No, I feel like going over here now." "No, I want to go back to the first place I said." And you just want to drive the car into oncoming traffic. It makes you so mad. Sounds like this guy just can't make up his mind.
Well, he's been at USC for 3 years.
Right.
But anyhow, he's back in the portal.
Portal three times.
Portaled twice as a high school kid. Very interesting. Anyway.
Is it overvaluing yourself?
You think?
You think that's a little bit of it too?
Yeah.
Thinking I could do better over here.
I'm going to guess mommy and daddy never told him no.
They don't deserve me over here. I'm going to go over there.
With a name like Brew, weren't we always set up for this?
Yeah.
Anyhow, there could be some good news down the pike.
A news flash here, and there's a lot of kids like that now.
Well, Jared, you just ruined the show. Thanks a lot.
I'm in this whole portal.
Are we going to dive into childish children?
No.
Is that where we're headed?
Well, I'm talking about these kids, these players that are just they go to one place for 1 year. Didn't feel like they got targeted enough or get enough handoffs, and now they're gone.
Did you happen to see?
There's no work involved anymore.
Since we're talking about this, let's just keep on. Did you happen to see Nick Benito and Perrion Winfrey over the weekend? And their tweeters?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that Nick Benito, not the biggest fan of all time of Mario Williams.
Yeah.
And then Latrell McCutchen.
What'd he say?
Well, he's in the portal.
Well, I knew that.
And it supposedly headed it right back out to USC, to the place that he and his dad cussed out the coaches on Twitter all year long at OU. And now he's just going to follow him out there?
That makes sense.
There's times.
Listen, people would, and we're OU fans, and it was shocking when Lincoln Riley left, and then now more stuff has come to light. Now we're seeing some players follow him, and some players were not too sad to see go, like you just mentioned. But I'm like, yeah, that whole culture is better suited on the West Coast. I've kind of come to, I'm kind of glad that they're gone. Someone said, "Hey, where's Lincoln?" I said, he's where he needs to be. And if the players want to go with him, good luck. Good riddance. Have fun. Good luck. I'm ready to move on. Ready to bring in this new era.
When do you think?
Return of an era.
When do you think Caleb Williams is going to announce his decision?
I don't know. They're still arranging the parade. Just make the announcement. Clearly, I think, and more rumors, is OU's basically told him, we're moving on. So don't. I'm not. I think as soon as that announcement was made, he's in the portal. All us realists said, okay, there's no chance. Even though he said Oklahoma's still in the running, we all knew that wasn't true. I guess my answer is I don't care when he makes it because it's not coming back here.
What if he
I don't know where. Now, the JT Daniels thing kind of intrigues me. Is that an indication of anything, or is it because the walk-on quarterback just solidified himself as the guy?
And there's also Brock Vandegrift.
There's that too. Yeah.
By the way.
How crazy would it be if JT Daniels is gone? Jackson Dart, he down to two schools. He's clearly leaving USC. And then how crazy would it be if Williams is up and says, I'm going to UCLA. And all of a sudden those two schools who thought they had a real good shot at Caleb Williams are left with nothing. Not nothing, but. You know what I mean?
USC's left with nothing.
They thought they were getting this guy.
That would be awesome.
I think it'd be kind of funny.
That would be awesome. At least for the OU fans that are vindictive in that way.
Not us.
Which is pretty much everybody.
Not us. No, no. And I'm interested. Isn't this fun, though, all the rumors? Got rumors today that the duo, Jackson Dart, and help me with the name.
Trigg. Michael Trigg.
Rumors that they might make an announcement today.
Kel Gundy tweeted OU DNA.
Sounds like they're a dual package. You're getting one, you're getting the other. And of course, they visited OU at the same time. Would we be okay with that?
Jackson Dart as the quarterback of the Sooners?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or, as Dakota has so expertly pointed out, and I was about to mention, or is this the day that OU ends up with 8 players on the roster because Schmitty workouts started today?
Yeah. It's going to be a real true showing.
It's for real.
The kind of players. Listen, I guess what we're trying to say is, OU fans, if a player hits the portal, that's not necessarily an all bad thing. That might be the thing telling us we don't want that type of player on campus because he can't handle what you just alluded to, Schmitty's workouts.
Well, and the one thing that, you know, that's going to be brought up ad nauseum from now until the season starts, and in who knows how the season's going to go. You don't even know who's on the team. But I think it's funny why, as naysayers of that program, it's, oh, my gosh, you're replacing both safeties. Well, guess what? All everybody did was gripe and moan for 3 years about those guys.
Yeah.
Is that such a bad thing?
No.
Oh, you're replacing some offensive linemen. Oh, yeah, those guys that weren't good enough to go pro? I mean, no offense to Tyrese Robinson and Marquise Hayes, but, you know, just 2 nights ago, on Sunday night, when they're going through the introductions of the Kansas City Chiefs, 3 players out of 4 said Oklahoma, and 2 of them were offensive linemen. And guess what? They left. They didn't stay the whole time because they were good enough to leave.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, maybe it's not such a bad thing that there's guys that aren't there anymore.
I'm not suggesting this is going to happen, but if history is truly repeating itself, what if Venables does win a national title in his second year? Are people going to start screaming from the mountaintop that, oh, he did it with Lincoln Riley's players? I think in this case, you cannot say that because they have all left.
Oh, of course you can. There's still tons that are there. Still tons that are there. And you know what? Does anybody care?
No, nobody cares. Nobody cared when they were saying it was John Blake's players.
At the end of the day, there's always a majority of that is true, but it also takes a couple others thrown in there, you know, like Josh Heupel or Quentin Griffin, those types of guys that also make their way to that program, Torrance Marshall.
Yeah.
Derek Strait.
Right.
That supplement the talent that's already there. All right. Well, that was fun. We put the last segment to the first. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. If you want to get involved, you can do that. That way,
your name does not have to be Dakota or Drew to text us. You can be anybody, yeah.
Want. Speaking of Drew, has anybody checked on him since Sunday?
It's a good question, man.
How's he doing?
I think he's okay.
Is he okay? Are we sure he's okay?
I don't know. I don't know. That's it. I don't know, man. The last time I physically saw him, he had a hand wrapped up. Hopefully nothing else has been broken.
Is there a possibility Drew burnt a Cowboys jersey?
Don't do that, Drew. Don't do that.
Do we think he did? Because he showed up to our fantasy draft in a Zeke Elliott jersey, I believe.
Yeah, I remember that a couple years
Has
ago.
Has he burnt that?
I don't know. I did.
Does he want to burn that?
I have a Dak jersey. I didn't burn it after he ran the clock out on the season. I didn't do that. It hurts at the time, but like we said yesterday, the sun came up and everything's fine. You get to a point in life where you can't really stress about this stuff. It's just not healthy.
Look at you, New Year's resolution. 225-9698.
Good job.
Is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about anything. It's open. The floor is open to you at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. That app has everything. It's got three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. We'll hit the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. You can also watch high school basketball, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Gosh, the Elks are in cash as far as I know so far tonight. Then the Altus tournament after that. West Central tournament kicked tipped off yesterday. We'll talk about that here at the top. What else? There's all kinds of games. We'll have to get the schedule for tonight. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, Bi-County out at Merritt this weekend. If you're looking for some good high school basketball.
Oh, boy.
And don't want to travel a long way. Merritt, Friday afternoon, probably 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
For those here, you know what? I think I have that. I think I have that bracket right here handy.
You're welcome.
Courtesy of Jared. 3:20. So starting at 3:20 on Friday afternoon, just go to Merritt.
Go to Merritt, get some popcorn, get a seat.
Get a seat and enjoy the games. You're talking, we'll run down. Golly, what? 1, 2, 3, 4 top 10 teams on the girls' side?
Yeah.
In the rankings, the boys have 1, 2, 3. They got some ranked teams there as well. It's going to be a lot of fun for the Bi-County out at Merritt, especially on Friday when the semifinals hit. Let's see. Skinny on Sports Podcast, iTunes, and also KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check those out there. All right, so what happened yesterday at the West Central Basketball Tournament, Mr. Atha?
First round of games tipped off. And, you know, I had my bracket downstairs, and I wrote down the scores, so I apologize for not giving you scores. But I do know who won. I was able to get there for all of them, and I wanted to really check out the Calumet girls. Got a friend who has a kid on that team who's a really special kid. She's a really good player just as a freshman, Lily Thomas. They won by 10, beating Sentinel. In the boys' game, the next game, I think this is an upset. Burns Flat Dill City took down Sentinel, and it wasn't really that close, Aaron. Sentinel just couldn't get it to go through the hoop, just having trouble shooting the basketball. Burns Flat, they were kind of running up and down the court and got the win. The second girls' game was the Canute girls taking on Thomas. Canute started off strong at a 9-4 lead after the first quarter. I say strong defensively, but couldn't hold on. Thomas came out with a 21-point second quarter, and Canute was playing catch up the entire way. So Thomas wins that one. And in the final game of the night, probably the marquee game of the day, was Canute boys taking on Arapahoe Butler boys. If any indication of the first time these two teams played, that one you kind of circled for Monday, that it could be another good one. And it was. I mean, Canute and Arapahoe, they were staying close the entire time. Arapahoe would get a 10-point lead, and then Canute would cut it down to 5, and that happened multiple times. Ultimately, Arapahoe would win by 10 and defeat Canute. So today's games, Hydro Eakley boys and girls taking on Quorum Bible Academy. In the girls' bracket, Burns Flat Dill City taking on Arapahoe Butler. And in the boys' bracket, the final game will be Thomas taking on Calumet.
Yeah, there'll be some good semifinals in that one, too, on Thursday.
I think so. Keep an eye on the Burns Flat boys.
I'm telling you, man.
They look better than the last time I saw them.
That Flores, the lefty.
You've seen him, too. Yeah.
That dude is good. Jacob Flores, yeah. I believe. That dude is good. And you know what? Burns Flat has a higher power.
What do you mean?
Well, they've got a calc running the show.
Oh, well, of course.
Obviously.
Of course.
No, seriously, though. Burns Flat, man, the Flores dude can get it. He reminds me of he's a little Pyron-esque. Probably left-handed and the cool hair.
Okay.
Is part of that. You know, maybe not as in control as what Pyron was over at Arapahoe Butler. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to use this phrase, poor man's Ethan Pyron. That's not giving him enough credit because he's better than that.
Well, some people want that.
But he's a – that Flores, he is a good player, very good player. And so it's surprising to me that Burns Flatdale City beat Sentinel. But after seeing Burns Flatdale City with my own eyes, I can see how they can win some games.
Yeah.
If you let that guy dictate what's going on. He's got some other guys around him that are plenty good enough to get things done.
Well, they get on a roll. All of a sudden, that trip for me personally, for Canute at Burns Flat,
yeah,
doesn't look as
easy. In district?
Yeah.
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 Maybe not the team you want to see in district.
Nah. So we'll keep an eye on the Eagles. See how high they can fly. Sorry, I love puns. Sorry.
We got to come on.
This is always one of the fun ones. That Bi County looks fun. Another good week of tournaments for our schools. And a lot of these schools are on Paragon this week.
Yeah,
all of them are.
Kind of on the just two places, right? Merritt and the West Central.
Pretty much. Yep.
About everybody there. I'll be in Altus.
Hey, Whataburger.
You didn't get to watch a ton of that game last night. I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, I know. I was doing my own thing. I was checking the score, and it didn't look like much of a game anyways.
It wasn't. Boy, Kyler Murray and the that vaunted Cliff Kingsbury offense.
And so what happened?
8 straight drives. Listen to this. Courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. The Cardinals had 8 consecutive drive results in either 0 first downs, a fumble, or an interception. That's the longest such streak to open a playoff game. That's to start the game. Since the Raiders in 1980 against the Browns.
Wow.
Kyler Murray threw the shortest pick six of all time in the playoffs, a yard.
I saw that.
As he was falling down in the end. I mean, you get it, avoid the safety, but it turns out 7 points is more than 2.
Yeah.
With the result of that play, the Rams dominated, absolutely dominated throughout. So that puts L.A. at Tampa. That game will be on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So we know the matchups now. To start it off on Saturday, I think a 3:30 kick, it'll be the Bengals at Tennessee. The nightcap on Saturday is at Lambeau with the Niners in Green Bay. To start the day Sunday, the Bucks and the Rams, and then the nightcap on Sunday evening, like 5:30, Bills at Chiefs.
Man, Sunday feels like...
Sunday's kind of the blockbuster,
feels
right?
Like championship Sunday. You
little
know
bit,
what I mean?
A little bit. Without, you know, which is weird to say because the one seeds are playing Saturday.
Isn't that weird? But this feels like all roads point to those two games. I mean, those are the games you have to go through to get to. It just feels like those are the top 4 teams that whoever prevails in those two games, they're going to be okay.
And what's crazy is if results hold on Saturday, those winners of Sunday have to go on the road to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's what's kind of – I'm with you, though. That it does seem – I mean – there's part of me that thinks Bills Chiefs is the Super Bowl.
Has a Super Bowl feel.
In the divisional round.
Yeah.
Let's talk about all the games. We didn't really get a chance to do that yesterday. We talked Dallas.
Yeah,
but
we'll
let's just
about that one.
Let's go in chronological order back to Saturday afternoon with Raiders Bengals. A lot's been made of what happened in that game with the referee and blowing the whistle. And it leads to a larger discussion of, does it make sense for the NFL to do what they do officiating-wise? And that is, they kind of make all-star crews. There's a couple off this crew, a couple off this crew. You know, and
I see what you're saying.
I can actually see both sides of this argument, honestly.
You want a crew that's been together.
You want a crew that's been together, and that, you know, Jerome Boger was the referee. We all know him. He's been the guy for years. He's officiated a Super Bowl. But at the same time, let's say that his normal crew has two guys that grade out way high, him and another guy, and then the rest of them are kind of wishy-washy, right? So it, I guess it makes sense to see, like, to pick and choose off of different crews the guys that grade out the most, the best throughout the year, the kind of, you know, all-stars. I mean, it's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there seems to be something to be said about continuity as well. So I really kind of see both sides of this argument. You know, in that case, they made a mistake. And actually, kudos to the NFL if the reports over the weekend are true. They made a mistake, didn't correct it, and now they're done. I don't know what else you can ask for as fans. You don't want to, you know, they're human. They make errors. But at the same time, I think one of the things that, for me as a fan, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it doesn't, to me, it's always felt like the referees can make mistakes and there's really no action to be taken against
it. Right,
we want
to see consequences.
That's
accountability.
Right. Accountability,
yeah,
is
exactly
the word.
Yeah.
And it feels like that has happened. Okay, guess what? You guys messed it up. You admitted to messing it up, even though you lied about when the whistle happened. I mean, clearly the whistle blew before Tyler Boyd caught that pass. Clear. I mean, it's just, guess what? This isn't 1980. We have replay. We can go back and listen.
Yeah.
You know, it happened, and they messed up.
Man, if I'm a ref, every time I go, oh, that came from the stands.
Well, and that's the right. That's the thing is, oh, who blew that whistle?
Oh, it was me.
Darn it. But even though they didn't necessarily correct it the way the rule is written on the field, because for all intents and purposes, that play should have been replayed. Because as soon as the whistle blows, the ball is dead. Well, the ball's in the air when the whistle blows.
Right.
Dead replay.
And when it happened initially, my initial reaction was the defense stopped right there. It looked real easy because it looked like they heard the whistle and they just kind of – that was my first initial reaction.
See, mine was it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Because he was wide open, it was going to be a touchdown. But that doesn't mean that that's not the rule. The whistle blew.
Yeah, rules are rules.
Stop the play, yeah. Replay it. But anyhow.
And it did change the game. I was asking Jim. I mean, I don't know. It was so – early. There's a lot of time left in the game. I don't know if we can determine if that would have changed the outcome of a game or what Vegas was going to do. Or
well,
Cincinnati.
They'd have kicked a field goal.
Was that third down?
Yeah.
It was third down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to replay the play. But Derek Carr throws a pick in the end zone on the last play instead of kicking a field goal to send it to overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, game plays it. But you're right. It was still the first half. A lot of things could change. With the management, I mean, if they're only up three, does Cincinnati basically give up their last possession by not wanting to turn it over and punting it back to the Raiders? Or do they go for a first? You know what I mean? It changes the strategy of the game for sure. It's not why the Raiders lost. Here, you know what? Here's why the Raiders lost. And this drives me nuts. So they move it all the way down. They get a first down on a play with the clock running. And with, 30 seconds left? And they run up at the 8-yard line, and they spike the ball on first down.
Okay.
And then they get to only run three plays in that goal-to-go situation. How do you not have a play ready so that you don't waste a down?
Yeah, aren't you calling like two plays?
You've got to.
Yeah.
You have to do that. You have to have a play ready when you get that first down to not waste a down. There was plenty of time.
Yeah.
To run another play.
Yeah, I kind of thought that it was a little early to be spiking. I remember thinking that.
You just cost yourself a play.
Right.
At first and goal. So that was a little bit poor. There's no doubt about that. You know, as a season, the Raiders fired Mike Mayock, which was kind of the architect of that team as far as putting everything together. I don't know if that's stemming from what happened with Gruden. You know, they were a little bit of a tandem when they came in. But it sure feels to me like Mike Mayock has done a pretty good job putting that team together.
Well, listen, any team would have folded or any franchise would have just mailed it in after their head coach had quit in the middle of the year for all of the controversy surrounding that. Then, of course, the horrible stuff with Ruggs. So, you know, I give kudos. You know, I think Mayock needs a little credit to keeping that team together, in a sense, to make the playoffs and really had a chance to win that game. right?
100%.
So are they pulling the trigger on him a little too quick?
I feel like it is, but I just wonder if it's not a cleaning of the house back to the Gruden stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
So the Bengals snapped the longest streak in pro sports of winning a playoff game all the way back to 1991. On their side of it, there's times, man, where it just seems like that offense is unstoppable.
Yeah.
When you get Burrow going with Chase, guys have that relationship quarterback to receiver around the league, but theirs almost feels like it's even more deep, partly because they played together in college. I mean,
Sometimes that doesn't translate.
That's right. But for them, it does.
Right, it did.
You know,
it does.
It definitely does. And you're right. Sometimes you're like, golly, these guys played in college. That doesn't look like it now.
Right.
But for those two, clearly does. And you know, then second half, it wasn't nearly as efficient, but they got the job done. And I asked that question to Jim a little bit yesterday. Boy, does it with the turmoil of everybody else, especially at the quarterback spot in the AFC North, doesn't it feel like Cincinnati's in a place to dominate?
With all the youth they have
in that division.
I don't think they've hit the ceiling yet, obviously. There's still some flaws there that kind of bogged down a little bit in that game. But Burrow, I wasn't ready to go ahead and crown him as the heir apparent of being all these of the next great quarterback. I just wasn't ready to do it. I thought, yeah, you had one fantastic out-of-this-world season at LSU, and that might be by circumstance of being in the right situation at the right time during the right season with the right coaches. But it looks like he is an NFL quarterback, and I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet. So, yeah, it looks like they can with what's going on in Pittsburgh, a changing of the guard there, whatever's going to happen in Cleveland. I think Baltimore, with their quarterback situation, are they happy with it? I mean, can he be more accurate or not? We've seen MVP stuff from him, then we've seen some really bad stuff from him. The ceiling is very, very high for Cincinnati, and the future looks very, very bright. They are poised to have a heck of a run here.
100%. I think that's exactly right. It does. It just feels like
I'm just trying to think, what do they need next, you know? I mean, my brother-in-law would know more than I would, being a big Cincy fan, but, you know, are they comfortable with Joe Mixon? Feels like if they wanted to get rid of him, they would have done it couple seasons ago.
Well, they're going to get to the point like everybody else does, and you can't overpay. I mean, Mixon, he's a heck of a running back. There's no doubt about that. He's talented. He can catch it and he can run it and all that. But there's tons of guys like that. I mean, this is the wrong time in the history of the league to be a great running back, because the value isn't there financially and even from the standpoint of longevity. You know, there's just not it doesn't make any sense. Look at the Cowboys. I mean, my gosh, we'll get there, but Zeke Elliott, come on. Nobody's wasting a number four pick ever again for a running back.
No.
You know. Buffalo, New England, you were on this one, man. You were totally on it. And Buffalo dominated. Just absolutely killed the Bills or the Pats from the word go. I know there was lots of people, and especially AFC fans, you know, Pittsburgh fans, anybody in the East, even maybe Colts fans, had to enjoy that butt kicking that Belichick had to take, courtesy of Josh Allen and the Bills. Buffalo, the first team since at least 1950. And to me, that means we got to keep digging. But at least 1950. To not punt, attempt a field goal, or have a turnover.
What do they call it? A perfect game?
Perfect game.
In a way? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And it was
was there more touchdowns thrown than incompletions?
That's correct.
That somewhere? Was that a halftime stat?
I think that was a full game stat. Josh Allen threw more touchdowns than incompletions.
The real question is, did they have enough fireworks in Buffalo?
Kansas
City ran out. Did Buffalo have enough?
I'm sure they – the difference between them and Kansas City – it's been a while since they've hosted a playoff game, so their stockpile was probably pretty high, whereas Kansas City's been hosting playoff games for the last 3 years, you can understand how they run out.
Is there any tables left in Buffalo? What's going on with their fans there?
Man.
With stuff being thrown
Bills
on the
Mafia.
Field. Don't score on Buffalo. You never know what's going to be thrown at you. Care to elaborate there, Aaron?
Yeah, I wonder how many women.
Remember when I text you, I said, this is why this game did not intrigue me. And you said, well, there was at least one entertaining
thing.
There was
a very entertaining thing. Kendrick Bourne was the first one to notice it. How many, I guess the question would be to me, how many wives were watching that game with their husbands? And when that happened, they just looked at their husband and went, man, what a waste.
That's... I hate to be the guy, like the staff who had to go out and clean up. I had to go grab. Hey, go get that piece of trash off the field there, Joe. It's your first night on a playoff game. It's your call. You got to go do it.
Do you think he kept it?
Oh, my God, no. You would hope not.
Merry Christmas, honey.
You know, as cold as it was, they're wearing gloves at least. Merry Christmas. Happy Valentine's Day.
Looked like an expensive one. I mean,
you know that thing wound up on eBay, right? This was the thing that was on the field during the Bills blowout of the Pats. Or a lot of replicas.
How many?
Drew, how would you know?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
Oh, my goodness. We saw it all this weekend.
Been a while since I priced those things.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Good to hear from Drew, though.
Yeah, good to know he's alive. Did you burn your Zeke Elliott jersey is the question on the table.
That's the question on the text line.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Bills, Pats, how many sports radio shows wasted their time over the last 2 years with the was it Brady or was it Belichick argument? Sure. I mean, that one's over, right? Can we just go ahead and say, guess what?
Yeah,
Turns out Brady was more important to the Patriots than Belichick.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
Yeah, I don't think.
Are we okay there?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean,
Belichick's incredible.
Brady had such an appeal to him, like, and it's still there with at the Bucs. You know, he got, I mean, he has people who want to come play with him, right? That's not, doesn't look like that's so much the case in New England. It's not a, listen, it's a fine franchise, well ran. They made the playoffs. But it doesn't seem like it's a destination place right now.
Oh, people aren't flocking to play for Mac Jones.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Here's the truth. And this goes to
– And I'm not trying to take away from Brady because he's – listen, let's face it. He's had a lot of help. He's had the Randy Mosses of the world come there. You
once.
Know, he's had a lot of help.
He has made – this is the next game we're talking about is Bucks, Eagles, and the whipping that was. Tom Brady has made short, quick, white dudes more money than maybe anybody in the history of the earth.
Yeah.
I mean, there's real conversation yesterday about, hey, you know what? Scotty Miller's pretty good instead of Antonio Brown. Really? Scotty Miller walks in this room and you don't even know who he is. But how many guys did Brady do? Edelman, Amendola, Wes Welker, go down the list. And that is the – anytime that – you know how I know your quarterback isn't good enough on whatever team you're talking about? When you start making the excuses of, oh, he doesn't have weapons. Oh, he's played for – maybe this is Sam Bradford excuse. Oh, he's played for 4 offensive coordinators in 3 years. Does that help? No. But if you're good enough, does it matter? No. Tom Brady, it didn't matter who he's thrown to. He made them a star. And then, oh, by the way, when you give him Randy Moss, he sets records.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the he either goes to the Super Bowl or he sets records going to the Super Bowl. That's the difference for Brady. And that's the difference of Rodgers and the real true superstar quarterbacks. They make the other guys stars, not the other way around.
Right.
They don't need stars. They make them. Anyhow. Brady, he's amazing to me to watch. His football IQ is off the charts. He's clearly talented. He takes whatever the defense gives him each and every week. And that's what he did against Philly. You know, there's some times where they run. There's another times, heck, he threw it like 35 times in the first half. But it's like unless you absolutely pressure him up the middle, which Philly kind of started to do in the middle of the second quarter through some of the third, pressure right in his face, that bothers everybody. But it does seem to bother Tom Brady more, and maybe it's because he can't move as well as the rest. You know what I mean? I mean, he's great in the pocket, but he can't make those sudden moves to get away. And that's what you have to do to beat him. I think if you go back and look at the losses he's had, playoff-wise especially, you'll notice guys in the middle frustrating him and being in his face. That's almost the only way you beat him, because you can't just let him step back there and pat the ball. But if you blitz him and you don't do it up the middle, he picks you apart that way as well. He's just incredible. He's the greatest ever.
Yeah. This upcoming game is intriguing. I mean, we'll get to those. It's only Tuesday.
On the Philly side, Troy and Joe made a lot, especially as the game wore on in the first half. They made a big deal out of Devontae Smith not getting the ball in the second quarter. I get it. I totally get it. But at the same time, how much do you have to ride the horse that brung you versus scrap the game plan and just get it to your best players? You know, I think there's a happy medium in there, and it felt like Nick Sirianni and Philly went too far one way and not just like, you know, hey, get this guy the ball and see if he can make a play. I mean, that's not what got you there, but at some point, you also got to – your guys have to be involved. You know, Hurts is such an interesting case. I do think he's done better than most people thought he could, me included. He looks like an NFL quarterback. But he also looks like an NFL quarterback with major problems. And so you got to tailor things to his skills. And it just, if you can't run the ball, then Philly's toast. And the problem for them was not only going up against Tom Brady, but also going up against the third-ranked rush defense in the league in Tampa Bay.
That's why I have serious concerns about his future in Philadelphia. Is do they want to tailor everything around what he can do good, or do they want to go in a different direction? Because when they first drafted him, it didn't feel like this is the next franchise quarterback. It just felt like, let's give this kid a shot. He's a great guy, definitely an addition to the locker room, and could be a great backup quarterback. Things happen. Now he's a starter, but I don't know. Knowing how the pulse, and listen, we know better than anybody. We root for an NFC East team, and we keep an eye on the others. So we know better than anybody how Philadelphia can be reactive to stuff like this, especially the front office. I'm a little leery. If I'm Jalen Hurts, I'm a little leery of how Philadelphia approaches this offseason, especially with the plethora of picks that they have.
Yeah, they got tons of picks. I think if you're favor is this. There's not great. This isn't a great quarterback draft.
There's not. If this was a year ago, I'd be concerned. And he can fall back and go, look, I got you to the playoffs. They were always a big guy. You give him a chance, you know.
They were 6-2 over their last eight. But when you look at what they beat.
Yeah.
Broncos, Saints, Jets, Washington twice, Giants. It mixed in there was a loss to the Giants. The Dallas loss at the end doesn't matter because they didn't play anybody.
Nobody was there to play. Yeah.
Right. So really they won, what, 6 out of the last 7 that mattered.
But are you beating the big dogs?
That's right. I mean, and it's a really tough choice because I don't think anybody in Philly is jumping on the Jalen Hurts is going to take us to the promised land train. But at the end of the day, there's way worse options than Jalen Hurts if you get a little bit too greedy.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with the last couple games from the weekend. The Steelers. And then...
Oh, the Steelers.
I love extra games more than anybody. I love football. Extra... But with the way that those two teams, the seventh seeds, went, is this a good idea? The NFL playoffs, top of mind for sure. With last night's game, a dud, complete dud. And really and truly, at the end of the day, The wild card weekend, kind of a dud. I mean, outside of the Dallas Cowboys circus, you know, that first game was close. I mean, obviously Raiders thrown in the end zone to try to send it to overtime. It's close, but I don't know how entertaining it was. And the Cowboys was only entertaining because of the circus and everything that went along with that last play even being possible. But I'm all for more games. Don't get me wrong. All for it.
Yeah.
But didn't it feel like, man, that extra team making the playoffs made these games way less competitive than normal? Or is that just a prisoner of the moment take because, what, four out of the six were not close?
Yeah, hard to say. I'm more on the side of more football is better than less.
I always am too, and Drew makes a great point. A lot of times when you see division games in the playoffs for a third time, those are fantastic. These were terrible. Buffalo killed New England, and last night's game was just a joke. I mean, Arizona was done. And I wonder, you know, you've seen all kinds of criticism and taking up for of Baker Mayfield by OU fans and, you know, all that. Does Kyler get any today? You know,
yeah.
It feels like he's kind of been Teflon for a lot of his career.
Right.
I wonder how much he takes, you know, he and Kingsbury both. And I agree with Drew's take, right? Less preseason games, more real games is a good thing. I 100% agree. I think it just didn't work this year for the NFL because the games weren't competitive.
Now, this coming weekend.
Well, it's when it always starts.
Yeah.
You know, these next, honestly, a lot of times, these next 2 weeks, the divisional and the conference championship weeks, a lot of times are better than the Super Bowl. These are like the true great weeks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. If I could hand you a magic wand, Jared, if I could hand you the wand and you could pick the winners of this week's game to watch play in the conference title games, so basically, what conference title games do you want to see?
In the NFC.
That one's easy, right?
L.A. Green Bay?
Nah.
You don't want to see that?
Heck no.
Why not?
Brady Rodgers, baby, all day long.
Okay. I was thinking more of a team aspect.
I don't need the team. I'm an individual anyway.
Okay. This is what I want to see, not what I think is
going
to happen.
Okay, so you want to see Rams pack?
No. What I want to, I'm with you. What I
want
to see.
Yeah, you want. Yeah, no.
Sorry, I heard the question wrong.
No. I'm letting you decide. What do you want to see?
Yeah, that's what I want to see.
Brady Rodgers,
sure.
Too.
Yes. Do I think it'll happen? No. But that's what I want to see. In the AFC, I'd love to see the Cinderella story continue with the Bengals. I guess they're my new team now. And
hey, don't bend to a brother-in-law. You don't have to succumb to that peer pressure.
And I think a Joe Burrow-Mahomes matchup in the AFC champ would be a lot of fun. You want to see Bills Mafia there?
I want to see Bills Mafia.
You want to see more of that, do you?
I want to see Bengals-Bills in Buffalo. The AFC title game back in Buffalo. Just to see how crazy those people can get.
It'll get crazy.
And then, obviously, Brady Rodgers is a dream matchup. But the problem with the game I want to see in the AFC title game isn't the Super Bowl I want to see.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see Brady Rodgers, whoever, against Mahomes.
Yeah.
And so maybe the Chiefs can just skip winning this week and go to the Super Bowl because I want to see Buffalo and the fans. But at the end of the day, I don't want to see them in the Super Bowl. I want to see the quarterback, all-time quarterback matchup like we had last year.
Man, the potential of that Chiefs-Bills game. I wonder what the over is on that one.
Well, Jared, funny you ask.
It feels like there could be 100 points scored. I wonder what the weather's going to be like, too.
It's in KC.
Right.
Let's look here. I saw this last night, the opening lines. All right, so the Titans, 3.5-point favorites over the Bengals at home, over under a 47. Pack is a 6-point favorite over the Niners, over under 47.5. Bucks a 3-point favorite over the Rams, over under 48.5. So all of them right around that 48 number. Hmm. And then the one you're talking about, Chiefs 2-point favorite over the Bills currently, over under a 55.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something tells me take the over.
So that's what, 30-28?
Be a shootout. Is that the night game Sunday?
It's the last game. It opens with the AFC 3:30 on Saturday afternoon, then sandwiched between are the two NFC games. 7:15 is Pack Niners on Saturday, and then Sunday opens 2:00 with Rams Bucks, and then the nightcap is Chiefs Bills. Good stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Man, are there any better form? I know we just kind of talked about this, but are there any better form of playoffs in pro sports?
No. No, this is it.
More people watch this than any other thing, I think.
You know, I heard Jim say this yesterday, and it's pretty funny, because MLK Day has traditionally been NBA, 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 NBA. Yeah. And the NFL said, sorry, we're playing. And it's been phenomenal. Even though that crappy game last night, you know the ratings were off the charts.
Absolutely.
Everybody have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.